You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Hey everyone, welcome to a Myopia Morning episode where Scott's hosting and I'm kind of playing along. It's just the two of us this time. If you've downloaded this, you already know the title, which is The Magic School Bus. It was a good choice because, I don't know about you guys, but based on my age, this was one of those things along with Bill Nye that the sub just played when the teacher was out, you know. And of course, there's a new version that came out in which the exact same thing song is used, but it's sung by Lin-Manuel Miranda, so yay. It's kind of a weird dry show. I don't know if you've watched it in a while, but it's something. Anyway, quick plug. Obviously, Cineprov, I'm a part of it. They're performing. It's the first Thursday of the month. So next week, a week from when this episode comes out, Prisoners of the Lost World, they usually perform Thursday. However, this month they're performing on the Saturday. So go see them. I'll be in the audience with you guys. I hope to see you soon. Write and review. La la la. Also, we have a Patreon now for ESO. So look up ESO's Patreon. It's around. I will put it on the Facebook page. Thanks.
Hello, podcast fans. My name is Chris Jones, and I'm here to tell you about the Nerd Bliss podcast. Now, of all the geek-oriented podcasts out there, we are definitely one of them. Yes, we talk about Star Trek and Star Wars and cosplay and Marvel and DC and the usual. But as geeks, we embrace anyone with very specialized knowledge, like triathletes or improv comedians or musicians. So we try to bring them in and let them share their geekiness with you to help broaden some horizons, and maybe you'll learn something. Maybe we'll learn something. You can find our entire catalog at nerdblisspodcast.com on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, Google Play Music, Player FM, and we are now proud to be a part of the ESO Network. Once again, we are the Nerd Bliss Podcast. Thank you, and pod bless.
Welcome to Myopia Mornings. This is a podcast dedicated to revisiting the TV shows we all loved as children and seeing just how well they hold up. This month we watched The Magic School Bus, about the world's best and most irresponsible elementary school teacher and the kids she subjects to crazy field trips. To discuss whether it holds up, we have Mr. Nick Hoffman.
Hey guys.
And myself, your generous host, Scott Miller. Generous because I watched The Magic School Bus for you.
Yeah.
The original, mind you, the mid-90s, starring Lily Tomlin.
Yeah, that blew me away, man.
Which is awesome.
I know I don't usually interrupt you so far, but like...
Yeah.
I was like, wait a minute. Why is that voice familiar? And then B, I was like, Lily Tomlin? Really?
I just want video footage of Lily Tomlin in the booth making all the little woohoo, oh, woo, little things that Miss Frizzle does whenever she gets really excited.
And I mean, I know this is like a decent era of SNL, but how was there never a time when she went on and did like kidnapped a bunch of kids on a school bus as Miss Frizzle?
Oh, that would have been great. Especially like, just like a normal school bus.
Yeah, exactly.
Just like, hallucinate.
They go out somewhere like to Brooklyn or something and film it during the day as a short where she just has a yellow school bus and just takes a bunch of kids. They end up going to like Staten Island or something yeah. And get left in a garbage pile.
Look, children, we're going to learn what happens to recycling.
The kind of thing that they can pull off in like either a cartoon or on Sesame Street, but nowhere in between.
Yeah, exactly. Let's all use our imaginations.
They're getting mugged outside Central Park.
Yeah, exactly. That'd be good. That'd be like a good SNL or Funny or Die sketch. I'm very shocked that hasn't been done. She kind of looks like Miss Frizzle if, you know, she was younger, but with the hair and stuff.
Right. It's like how half the cast of Archer is clearly just based on the voice actors.
Yeah. Yeah. Pretty much.
Like, that's, I mean,
except Archer, regardless. Of course. He's always way more attractive on with his voices.
Yeah, sure.
Anyway, we are off track already. That's how this is going to go. Well, as usual, we like to refresh our listeners' memories as to what this show is about in case they haven't seen it in 25 years. And this show is 24 years old, which is crazy. Magic School Bus follows an eccentric teacher named Miss Frizzle, which I love that name, by the way. Miss Valerie Frizzle, for those who need the trivia. Miss Frizzle and her extraordinary magic school bus that she uses to take her class on educational field trips through time, through space and biology and all sorts of things that you couldn't possibly do in real life. But that the show is very keen to make you aware that all the kids find this terrifying and dangerous and irresponsible.
Yeah.
Which I think is hilarious. This show does a good job of, I think, of kind of referencing itself. Things like, this is scary, this is wrong, this isn't even the right fact. Just a lot of little things like that that kind of add to the educational aspect. It's not enough to teach the kids. You've got to teach them that this is television and to not take it all seriously.
Yeah, that kind of blew me away. Yeah. That, like, the basic structure of the show is they start in the classroom where they realize they're supposed to be learning about something. Then they do a field trip, and then the last 6 minutes is making corrections to the show.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. They have a hotline that a kid can call in and be like, I just watched this episode and it's all bullshit. You guys definitely made that up, and like that was on a sound stage, and
some nerdy kid's like, you know, it would have taken more than 10 hours to digest, and you're just like, guys.
That's exactly what it is. That's exactly what it is. There's some kid watching it saying that, and the show goes, oh, wait, we're going to address you, too.
Hey, prick, we got it. Yeah.
Stop ruining this shit. It's TV. It's daytime TV for kids.
Well, which they say directly.
They're aware that it's a TV show.
Yeah, very much so. I don't know. I was telling Scott before we recorded that this is effectively what they threw on when there was a substitute or the teacher was hungover. Like, this is just like,
yeah,
mild. It's not unlike the Bill Nye show, right? Like, yeah, Bill Nye, sure, the Science Guy. You know, it's perfectly fine. These characters are kind of annoying as hell.
They do spread the love a little bit. I mean, you've got Arnold who just complains, not another field trip. But then they throw a bone to other characters, so it's not just the same one having some kind of stupid class problem every time. Which at least helps. You're not like, oh my god, enough with your research, enough with your field trips are dangerous. I mean, it changes it up a little bit. There's enough characters to do that.
Well, I mean, and he especially is like, he reminds me of Chucky, like from Rugrats. Mm. Like, he's kind of this nebbishy character who's anxious about everything. It's really just something.
Yeah. But there totally would be a kid like that in the class.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. I know I watched this show growing up. I know I did. I remember very little. I just have, like, kind of visual memories. Didn't really remember the episodes or watching it. Arnold came back to me, and Miss Frizzle I remembered anyway. I was like, oh yeah, that guy. But I mean, I don't know what I would have remembered from this show. I mean, it teaches you kind of elementary school facts for when you're really young, but I mean, you remember that stuff probably more than the show.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I don't know if you have. You've grown up to be an eccentric teacher who takes kids on field trips in a crazy bus, right?
I mean, here's the thing. I mean, like you, I remembered the structure kinda, but
yeah.
The second the thing started up, these characters are such stereotypes that like it does kind of flood back to you. But one of the episodes, once it started, I remember the one where the kids eat, like they go through the digestive tract a little bit.
Yeah,
I remember the premise. I didn't remember much more than that. But for the most part, no, I don't. This show, yes, I'm sure I watched it. Nothing came back.
And Netflix is banking on people remembering this show. They released like a reboot, computer animated version, I think, last year. Just riding their nostalgia wave. So I'm sure somebody watched that, and hopefully they're listening to this podcast.
Right. I was thinking the same thing. I was like, when we were picking these, we kind of made that conscious effort. Like, we were picking things that we thought people would like, and then we did our little survey, and then people came out and said, yeah, you should do these. So someone remembers it. It's not us. And, of course, no one else wanted to do this episode because no one else could remember it either. So I don't know. And then, I don't know. I'm sure you've seen it. But the new version, they released the theme song, and it's – what's his name? Lin-Manuel Miranda, who sings the new theme.
Oh.
But it's the same theme song. I don't know why – He did it with his voice. It sounds identical, except he's singing it.
I mean, I guess it's so you'll talk about it.
Right. So people now – it's the same thing they did with DuckTales, where they re-released it, the theme with the cast singing it, and they're like, oh, my God, it's David Tennant singing. I guess. I don't know.
I guess. Maybe they don't have the rights to that original song anymore. I mean, we could start there. I mean – it's a pretty funky theme song with some silly lines, and it very much describes what's going on in this show. I mean, it takes like 3 minutes to get through it, but
it does.
But I mean, it's like stupid thing. It's like navigate a nostril, spank a plankton.
I'm glad you wrote some of this down because you're right. It is catchy, but it went in one ear and out the other, and I immediately got confused by what was happening.
Got to turn on those captions because you're just like, yeah. Wait, did he just say spank a plankton?
It's like sailing on a sine wave, screaming through the stars or something, and you're just like, wait, what is happening?
Yeah.
Literally, what is happening?
Pretty much. Who hallucinated through this one?
And what is it for? Because, I mean, you're right. It's not the worst theme song we've done. And it's kind of catchy. But it's also, this might be the most mid-90s show that has ever happened. Like, it's the worst things you remember about 90s theme songs from everything. The kids all have that catchphrase that they must say like 30 times during the show, like bad sitcom.
Yeah.
It's literally everything.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's very much a product of its time. And as Thomas pointed out, I think in the Rocco episode, this is four seasons, a tight four, and then we're done. All right, you kids have grown out of this. You can move on to whatever. And a quick four, and they're done, 94 to 97. And it's locked there. It's definitely locked there.
Yeah, it's definitely mid-Clinton.
Mid-Clinton. Him and his school bus initiatives.
It was when the Simpsons were the best, too, and everything just kind of worked out. And
everyone was happy, was rich, and there were jobs. It's a good time.
Internet was at 56K.
Oh, man. That was some good internet. I don't know what we're doing now.
Yeah, we never could have done this show at 56K. It would have just sounded like a soundboard. It would have been awful.
Yeah, we'd be doing this over a Walkman and circulating our tape to people at school.
Like old episodes of Mystery Science Theater. Just circulate the tapes and hope for the best.
Yeah. Like a Grateful Dead underground bootleg recording. We should do that. We got to go retro. If we're really gonna go all in on this, reliving our childhood, we have to have mixtapes and things.
Like those people who used to pass around like prank phone call tapes and like bad comedy records that like...
Yeah.
I'm sure existed. Like, I think I eventually at one point owned a copy of an Adam Sandler CD, which probably got worn out, destroyed, because I didn't take care of crap back then. But I'm sure I also had it on a cassette tape.
Yep. Oh, man, those Adam Sandler tapes. Oh, the 90s.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, what did we watch? What the hell did we watch? We watched three episodes.
Yeah.
All from the first two seasons. We did not watch the first episode, but we watched the second one, and you alluded to it earlier. It's called The Magic School Bus for Lunch. This is an episode with a couple things going on here. Wet Blanket Arnold is trying to break a school record of some kind. He spends the whole episode trying to break random school records that we'll get back into in a second, trying to impress a classmate named Wanda. Because, of course, there's a Wanda. And meanwhile, Miss Frizzle decides, yeah, you do that, Arnold. We're going to miniaturize and go through your digestive system to see what happens to the food we eat. So they do a little fantastic voyage through his esophagus and stomach and small intestine and turn around when they get to the large intestine because this is daytime TV, after all.
Yeah. No poop jokes.
Ugh. Poop illusions, though.
A lot of poop illusions.
Poop Your Illusion, too, might have come out around this time as well. This is the kind of quality of pun you can expect at the Magic School Bus.
Well, and it's a lot of, wait, uh-oh, and, like, that's the joke. Like, yeah. They just...
Or like...
That's just kind of how it goes.
Poop Your Illusion. No, Carlos. Use Your Illusion. Oh. Like, that's not a... That's, I mean, that would probably happen in a class, but that's not really a joke. I don't...
Not really a joke is kind of the subtitle of the show.
Yeah. I can't really tell if this show is trying to be funny or just trying to be light. You know? Like, it's just trying to keep it light while they educate you on things.
I think it's kind of that, just because there's not a lot going on in this show. And, yeah. I mean, it's Lily Tomlin sounding like Lily Tomlin being like, oh, yes, it's going to be digested. What is digested? Well, there's, like, I mean, and it's just kind of bubbly and light. But otherwise, it's just her talking without these kids. Unfortunately, for the most part, they just have these little things that they repeat over and over again. Like, there's one girl who's always reading things in books, and she says, according to my research, about 60 times an episode.
She gets her own little episode next, so we can talk more about her then.
Yeah.
Oh.
I keep wanting to call him Chucky, but he's not Chucky.
It's baseball cap guy?
That's Carlos.
No, there's Carlos. Right? And then there's Ralphie.
Of course there's
Ralphie with the backwards cap who only talks in sports metaphors.
Uh-huh.
Because, you know, the backwards cap. So he's limited.
Yeah. There's Keisha and Dorothy Ann or DA that they call her sometimes and then they stopped.
Phoebe.
Ralphie. There's a producer who answers questions at the end. There's Danny Tamber. Oh, Arnold is Danny Tamborelli, Little Pete.
Oh.
Okay. And then there's Tim. That's it. That's the class.
How about that? That's the fun of this show, is finding out who did the voices for things.
It's more fun than the show itself.
Now, to be fair, we are pretty familiar with the human digestive system, so... This episode didn't offer a lot of new information to us, but I mean, this was probably the best one we saw.
Yeah.
Because to me, I mean, having miniaturizing and doing all that, like, that's, you know, that's a fun, you know, 60s sci-fi movie type of thing, but they also threw in little touches with the little, like, employee video parody, with whichever girl being like, here at United Digestion, we break down the foods before they go to here and there. And I was like, this is cute, actually.
Yeah, it's like a... I don't even know how to put it, but yeah, it's an employee video. It cuts in occasionally to explain things. It's almost like those little interstitials from like RoboCop or something. Like it comes out of nowhere, and they're cute, they're funny a little bit. Yeah. Like I don't know, it's a weird thing that actually kind
of
works.
Yeah, to me that was one of the better devices they used, and they didn't do anything like that in the other two we watched. But I thought that was good. I thought that was cool. Something different, anyway, than just letting Miss Frizzle explain everything or one of the kids continually ask questions over and over. They're just like, hey, here's a video. We'll just explain it to you.
Yeah, right?
Pretty good. Anyway, they do not go all the way through the digestive system. They turn around, go back out his mouth, and he's all, I never broke a record. Here's the other thing I had to go through was the records Arnold is trying to break. One of the first ones he tries to do is an olive eating record. He's sitting there like, ooh, olives. I could eat olives all day. And he's fantasizing about Wanda and olives and breaking a record. It's weird. It's a weird little 5-second thing. But I'm sitting there thinking like, I don't know how old this kid is. But that's kind of a weird snack for a kid to be that obsessed with.
Well, and it's like, I mean, this is what, the third episode or something, fourth episode? Like, his character trait is being afraid of everything and olives? Like, and being it's just like so weird. Dog. None of this makes sense. None of this helps anything.
Yeah. And then later he's trying to set the seltzer chugging record. Specifically seltzer. So Arnold is like a 68-year-old man trapped in this 10-year-old's body eating olives and chugging seltzer. It's very weird. Like, very weird collection of things. They're like, oh, kids love seltzer. Like, kids don't know what seltzer is. Just say soda.
Kids love seltzer. I guess they do.
I thought that was so weird that they picked those two things. I don't know.
And then he naps for 2.5 minutes or whatever. You're just like, what fresh hell is happening? All of this is so stupid.
It's all pretty stupid. They had to give him something to do because I guess they were trying to establish him as like the lead kid on the show. And it's like, well, we have a whole episode where we're inside you, so we got to give you something to do, I guess. I don't know. Like he's a real person standing there needing to act on screen. I don't know what I'm talking about. Just like this show. Although the end, like we mentioned before, they end these shows with a little epilogue of a Magic School Bus hotline where you can call in and complain about all the falsehoods and TV smashings that were put together in the episode, which I also thought was pretty cool and self-referential. So watching this episode first, I was like, oh, they had the little employee parody video. They've got this hotline thing at the end. I figured it'd be like Animaniacs or something where they'd have a different kind of epilogue every episode or every couple episodes. But no, it turns out they're going to do this every single time. The hotline. And I mean, by the third episode we watched, I was like, all right, I get it. I mean, it's still a good idea, but... I wasn't quite as impressed anymore. 3 episodes in, and I'm no longer impressed.
Well, you realize how short the show actually is. It's got a long theme, like you say.
Yeah.
And then it has that, like, 5-minute segment at the end.
Yeah.
So it's actually not that much of a show.
No.
It's really nothing.
It's a 2-act, little quick.
19
but the full,
minutes.
But the full show is 25 minutes. Which I found interesting. I mean, I'm used to these things being 20, 22 minutes for, you know, to have time for commercials. 25 is pretty long.
Yeah, I wonder if it wasn't PBS.
Ah, or something. Yes. That's a good point. I bet it was PBS. Well, anyway, second episode. Let's keep going.
Yeah, man.
Second episode here.
It's a volcano. So they're learning about plate tectonics, and the whole thing starts out with them trying to assemble a planet, and it falls apart. So they try to find a new island. And it's a kind of a cheat to get them into learning about plate tectonics and how they move. Arnold. God, I'm going to get this wrong every time because these kids are so uninteresting.
It's okay.
I think it's Carlos, too.
This is Carlos.
They don't want to go on with the kids underwater, yeah. So they're swimming around in a boat, right?
Yeah.
And DA drops her books into the water, and they're not ruined, of course, because this is magic. Yes. But they decide to go to the volcano underneath the water. Right? Because it's going to erupt and essentially form a new island.
Yeah.
It's a way for them to learn about how the Earth cycle works, I guess.
Yeah.
But
it's also also has the theme of Dorothy Ann, DA, is very reliant on her books and her research. They say the word research every conceivable way in this episode, but she always says according to my research, and they keep bugging her, you know, open your eyes and have an experience and learn that way instead of through books. And so this is her learning about that, having an adventure. Meanwhile, Carlos, who's all adventure all the time, starts reading a book and starts learning things through books. So I guess the other lesson of this episode, it's a two-lesson episode, is you can't learn everything in books. Sometimes you can use your brain, deductive reasoning, experience, and learn that way as well, and that's okay. So that's a good message that Carlos and DA learn together. Oh boy. That's what we're talking about, folks. That's what you're listening to is Magic School Bus episode recaps.
Well, and again, the one thing I realized right away is watching the first episode, the kids repeat what I guess is their character traits over and over again, like in a way that immediately you understand, like, this is their thing. And so by the second episode, I'm just like, what's going to happen? I get it. Like, I literally get it. Yeah. And nonetheless, it still comes up over and over again. Like you said, they try to flip two of the characters, but it's still kind of weird. Whatever.
Yeah.
It's kind of frustrating.
Yeah. But, I mean, it's at least addressing, like, okay, Dorothy Ann, we get it. Your whole thing is that you always have a book and you're always saying, I've got research here. So they tried to push her out of that for 10 minutes. But... yeah, I mean, it's still Arnold. Oh no, not another field trip. And the other characters are still doing what they're doing.
Yeah.
This one, I noticed a couple things. One, the bus itself, very magic bus, had a mouth, a face, personality. It was reacting to things. It was coughing.
Yes.
I don't think I noticed that in the other episode. Maybe they didn't have that at the beginning. But the bus is like a being or something. I don't know. Some kind of magical creature.
They definitely anthropomorphize it more in the second one than the first one.
Yeah.
And then the last one, they do it even more so. It's actually kind of nuts that by the end how it comes together. In the third one when they end up in like the Jurassic period.
Yeah. I feel like they should have a prequel backstory episode about the bus and his life in like some magical world where he was busing wizards back and forth and something weird like that. Or he comes from a Cars universe and escaped somehow.
Well, that's funny.
Could be
that's
a
more credit than I think I'd give it, but yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure they did not do that.
No, they couldn't be bothered.
And this also had more of the certified teaching assistant lizard that they just call Liz, the class pet, had a bit more of a role in this one. I didn't really notice him in the first episode, but that's another character. He does not talk, at least, because that would be crazy.
But, yeah, he's the Scooby-Doo, kind of just like panicking and running behind someone or whatever.
Yeah, doing a lot of sight gags. Yeah. Well, anyway, that's that episode. But that episode is actually the one that they could make again right now. And instead of DA being so reliant on her books, they could just, I dropped my cell phone into the water. And I'm freaking out, and I'm going to go fight a squid to get my phone back. And I'm just watching this thinking, if that was her iPhone, yeah, this would be the exact same episode. Nothing about this would change.
No.
So there you go. Easy update, Magic School Bus.
I'm sure they've already done, like, I mean, you think you're pitching something. I'm sure they've already thought of this all. Oh.
I mean, they just rebooted the damn thing last year. I'm sure it's got all kinds of stuff like that. I don't know. We're all on iPads now, anyway. VR. I mean, you know, kids have VR and, you know, Google Cardboard in the classroom now, where they can just put it on and it's like The Simpsons. I'm Genghis Khan. You kill who I kill. Eat who I eat. I mean, that technology's in classrooms now. So, I mean, you know, in the 90s, watching this being like, wow, what if you really could go to those places? And now they can just say, put on your Google Cardboard and we're in a museum and we can look at dinosaur bones and exhibits. I mean, that's awesome.
I mean, you're right. It's funny because we're not terribly far off from the Simpsons is just more realistic, but it's the same kind of joke.
Yeah.
That's funny you brought that up. I hadn't even thought of that.
The Simpsons predicts everything, so we can just all agree on that. Anything that has happened in the last 20 years, The Simpsons predicted it as a joke, and it's totally come true.
Well, and they actually, I guess the difference, of course, is that they actually put effort into some of this stuff.
Yeah.
Like,
kind of a, whatever. Wouldn't that be cool and terrifying at the same time? Let's just put it in there.
Yeah. Right, that's the difference.
Speaking of terrifying,
yeah.
Let's plow through the third episode we watched, which was riding the sweet Jurassic Park wave of the mid-90s. This was called The Magic School Bus and the Busosaurus, where they're already on a field trip to an archaeology dig, and Miss Frizzle shows up and goes, hey! Let's do a field trip within a field trip. And they take...
This is Miss Frizzle just being kind of an asshole.
Yes.
This is like, they're meeting an archaeologist who's doing research, and she's like, she's wrong. You want to see why? And yeah. He's like, uh-huh.
They're all like, whoa, what are you doing here? We thought we had the day off from you and your craziness. But yeah, she kidnaps the children, goes back to the Jurassic period, and They try to learn, I don't know, that not all dinosaurs are meat eaters or that they're not all violent.
Hashtag not all dinosaurs.
Yeah, pretty much. I wrote as a note on this episode, DA and her catchphrase according to my research. God damn it, DA.
They have a character trait and they say it 1,000 times. Like, it's the hackiest sitcom writing you can imagine. It's really weird.
Well, this episode is all cheap dinosaur puns. Just constantly. Miss Frizzle, the kids, they're just like, aren't dinosaur puns the best thing about dinosaurs? No.
No, they're not. Also, the animation on this one was surprisingly cheap.
Hmm. Yeah.
I don't know why this one particularly stuck out to me. But, like, the dinosaurs were, like, all pastel colors and weird pastel colors, which, I mean, whatever. They didn't, like, you can make any argument you want, but they just looked really cheap. It all looked very cheap. And, I mean, I don't know what a digestive tract looks like, but that at least looked like it made sense. This one bothered me for some reason.
There's not a whole lot to show in the digestive tract. Or in the volcano and underwater. There's not a whole lot they need to show there, but having a bunch of different animals and plants and things, I think that might have been biting off a little too much. So I'm sure they had, like, no budget to do this, and it's, like,
oh, two, no, I'm two sure guys they had no in a basement
doing this by hand. Yeah. Lily Tomlin's doing it for free, I imagine. I don't know. But
I mean, I don't think you're wrong. I think I think it literally was like whatever money they could scrape together.
Yeah.
I think it probably was PBS. You know, I think it's all there. So.
Yep. Well, that's what we watched, folks. And as we said, we don't really remember a whole lot else. You know, if you...
No, I mean, the show is fine. It's just, it's utterly forgettable. It's the kind of thing, again, that I assume you would just throw on in a classroom to like, satisfy some kids. You know, it's...
Yeah.
They're tight 25-minute segments. They're vaguely educational.
Yeah, you know? It's something you wouldn't mind leaving on when they, you know, the kids get home or something.
Yeah.
You know, it's better than watching Saved by the Bell, which is what I did.
Or shows where they just want to practice punching each other. You know?
Yeah. I learned nothing from that show.
No.
But, yeah, so, I mean... I don't know. I mean, we can start wrapping things up here. I mean, I don't even know what question to ask. Like, there's not really a did this hold up for you. I guess it's more like, I don't know, what did this show do for you? Did you do anything watching it again?
I mean, honestly, it was just so indifferent. There are better educational programs out there, and maybe it's just one of those things that back then there just wasn't a lot of this kind of programming. You know, like... This is going for a specific audience, which is older than a Sesame Street and a Mr. Rogers or whatever, and a Barney, right? But it's not very educational. Like, it's not super dense, right?
Yeah.
So it's probably going for mid to late elementary, maybe early middle school, like, but not more than that.
Yeah.
And I get the feeling that nowadays there's just better stuff out there for kids that age. And so it just, you know, honestly, it makes sense to reboot this because the idea isn't bad. It just, it's not terribly well executed and there's clearly not a budget, but the most expensive thing back then was animation. Nowadays, that's not there. Once you have a good, like, character model in CGI and computer animation, that doesn't change. So this makes sense to redo in that context.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, if they didn't bring back Lily Tomlin, I think it's a different teacher in the reboot. But yeah, the premise is solid and makes sense as like a supplemental, you know, a supplement to what they learned in class that day or that week. Something a little more fun that won't bother anybody. It's not particularly funny. It's not edgy at all. It's just, here's some information. Here's a goofy concept. Maybe you don't remember it in an hour. Maybe some of the facts seeped in and you learned a couple of things about science or whatever topic they're on that week. And that's fine. That's pretty good for a PBS 20-minute show. But it is a good premise and would make sense. And honestly... that there's not a movie, like some kind of live-action Jack Black movie of this is kind of weird to me. Like, it seems like this writes itself. You get a bunch of CG and just have them shooting this bus all over the planet in through time. Like, I don't know. I know I'm sitting here pitching half of the episode, but I don't know. I feel like the premise is good enough where it would work as another TV show, it would work as a movie.
No, but you're right. Like, that makes sense. Like the Goosebumps movie. Like, you could find someone like Melissa McCarthy or something.
Yeah.
Like, to be Miss Frizzle, be entertaining. There's physical comedy there, and then you just kind of go for it.
Yeah.
Why not?
So, I mean, if I had a kid about the right age, I mean, I don't know. Yeah, sure, I'd put it on. It's better than most of the... Sure, it's better than most of what they would want to watch, like, you know, dinosaur trucks or whatever the hell's out there.
monster trucks or whatever the hell that movie is. Yeah,
I don't even know anymore. But so, I mean, I wouldn't have any problem telling someone with 8, 9, 10, 11-year-old kids. Yeah, yeah, put on the Magic School Bus. They'll learn something. It'll keep them entertained for 20 minutes. So I guess in that sense, it holds up.
Yeah, man. I mean, I just, it turned out to be a lot less of a show than I remembered. I like, yeah. The characters are just so on the surface. The other thing you could watch it for, really, is it reminds me of a bit from, like, The Critic making fun of sitcoms or something. Because, like, the characters are just so on the nose and written that way that there's obviously a template. This is what Arnold dialogue always has to be. Yeah. And you're right. He's the one that's actually the best defined. The black kid, Tim, who's, like, has an African accent sometimes.
Yeah.
Has no characteristics. He might have three lines in all the episodes we watched.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, they clearly tried to make sure that the group of kids was diverse. And then at the end, when they do the hotline thing, it shows kids from all around the world calling in. So they're trying to reach out in that sense. But then when they actually got to writing the characters, they're like, all right, well, the white kid and the white girl will give them things to do. You know, like, it's, yeah, a little bit of laziness there. But I don't know. We only watched three episodes.
Yeah, I mean, and like, I'm sure it was someone's passion project. I think these were books, but I don't know which came first, the books or the show. Mm. But like, the male producer, the black guy, was Malcolm Jamal Warner from The Cosby Show. Like, there was some juice behind this show. It just doesn't seem to be warranted. Like, it just doesn't seem to go anywhere. I don't know.
Well, it was probably fun. I'm sure it was fun for Lily Tomlin.
And it's educational programming. Like, I don't know who really produced this or had effort behind this, but it probably followed up something like Sesame Street, and you're like, people are going to see this. We might as well make it positive and educational, right?
Yeah. What's the harm?
There's nothing bad I can say about it other than it's really predictable and boring. Like, it's not bad. It's not offensive. It's not like the science isn't wrong. It's mildly educational in that weak, mildly educational way that edutainment kind of is.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's harmless. It is a harmless show, folks. Go out and watch it. It's on Netflix.
Yeah.
We'll wait. So.
Yeah.
No, actually, we'll wrap up. I think we've done this show plenty of justice. That'll do it for us on this month's Myopia Mornings. Be sure to subscribe to Myopia Defend Your Childhood wherever you listen to podcasts to make sure you get the latest episodes. We'll be back next month with another attempt to ruin your precious Saturday morning memories as we join Ted Turner's army to save the environment. We'll see you next time. Thanks for listening.
Myopia Mornings is a member of the ESO Network and is produced by Dude Letter Podcasting. It is hosted by Scott Miller and co-hosted by Nick Hoffman and Aaron Greer. It is edited by Nick Hoffman and Candace Burns. The theme song is Buddy by Ben Sounds, and the music is available on bensounds.com. Please rate and review Myopia Defend Your Childhood on iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcast. Tune in next week when we put another piece of your past on trial. Thanks. So strap your bones right to the seat. Come on in and don't be shy. Come on. Just to make your day complete. You might get baked into a pie on the Magic School Bus. Step inside, it's a wild ride. Come on. Ride on the Magic School Bus. This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network, your station for all things geek. Classic, current, and beyond. Be part of the crew at ESONetwork.com.